Welcome to the provocative world of cis society, where we fearlessly embrace taboos around sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. This is Taboo Talks, where no topic is off limits. Join us as we expand our compassion and embrace our shadows and light. And as we wrap up this deep exploration of divine union, we dive into the heart of this topic, past relationships with others and into oneness consciousness. And so I am honored and so excited to be joined by Gabrielle Anathea today, who shares words of wisdom, divinity, and empowerment to support humans on their journey here on Earth. On her Instagram at Gabrielle_Anethia, you'll find channeled messages and loving words. She is a true believer that the divine presents itself in an extraordinary, ordinary way. And we are Cis Society. And if conversations like this excite you, please follow us on Instagram at cissociety.world and subscribe via our Spotify podcast or YouTube channels as we continue to break down the walls of stigma and liberate our truth one taboo talk at a time.
Ooh, were you high-fiving the camera there because you're so excited about this topic and our guest? Yeah, baby. Well, it's an honor to have you here, Gabrielle. And I came across your profile and you had a post that might have been a while back around divine union, and I just deeply resonated with it. I believe it was a poem and it was really touching. And when I brought it up to have you on the show, she's like, oh, well, how does she fit into divine union? I was like, well, her angle actually is incredibly beautiful because you, from what I've witnessed, take more of like a self-love approach to divine union. Like you are connecting to the divine through the connection to yourself and your relationship to yourself. And I would just love for you in your beautiful poetic way to just, guide us through a bit more of how you came to that space and that loving communion, like within your body, within your life, and what that looks like.
Yeah. And I'm super excited to be here as well. Just listening to Alfina like introduce me, I was like, wow, I'm so excited for this. I love this. I love everything that y'all are doing. It's a vibe big time. And I love the focus on divine union and also thinking about it as something that we have inherently within ourselves. So I think for me, just kind of growing up, like living life, adulting, all that fun stuff, there was always this belief that I needed to look outside myself to feel whole, to feel complete. I think even last year for me, there was this moment I was getting into the shower, like getting ready for the day. And it was like, when do I ever just get to be enough? And just by virtue of asking that question, it led me to think about, all right, what are all the ways that I feel or that I assume that I'm separate from something, separate from God, separate from love, separate from wholeness? Like, what are all these things? And so over the past probably like 6-7 months, if not more, it's been a journey of just like really remembering my wholeness. I got a question from someone one time and they're like, hey, like, what do you do if you don't feel like you're worthy? And I was like, honestly, it's just remembering that you already are and then removing the illusion that you're not. Like, that is consistently the work. And so I think that there's been so many different ways that the divine has like shown up and been like, hey girl, you need to do some work. Like, hey girl, this thing over here, that's you attaching to it, feeling like you're not already whole and complete unto yourself. And so, yeah, so that's been the journey for me, and kind of some of the experiences as well.
Wow. Full body chills on that one, babe. I was pondering this question myself the other day, because I think that what I'm realizing through conversations with sisters, with friends, with family members, is that the path to worthiness, it's not an event. It's like a lifetime. It's a lifetime of work. And there's contraction and expansion in that space. And I actually like was getting dressed the other day and I asked myself that very question. Like, I think I was like picking at like, I don't know what my knee looked like something outrageous. And I yeah. Literally saw myself and like moved into observation mode. And I was like, when do I just get to be enough? Like, when do I just get to like look in the mirror or wake up and say like, I am perfectly whole today and I need nothing. And, yeah, it was super moving that you brought that up. And I think like in this space, I guess I'm curious because I feel like all of us, I don't want to say struggle, but it feels like a soul curriculum. All of us move through this soul curriculum of remembering our innate worthiness. And for those people who are listening right now, in another now present moment in the future, are there tools or like tips or like grounding methods that support you in guiding yourself back to yourself and back to that remembering?
Yeah, I had this, well, I'll say this. I think for me, I'll be very honest. Like for me, I think it all starts off really with prayer, like, and whatever that means for you. So like the way that my mother prays, the way that I was learned to pray is very different than how I pray today. But I feel like every time that I sit down, and whether it's writing something down on a piece of paper or if it's just saying it out loud, like I'm talking to the divinity in myself first and foremost. So it's just more so like, all right, let me say a prayer. And that prayer can be something as simple as, you know what? I don't feel worthy. Like literally saying it out loud or writing it down. I kind of have to have this moment of awareness. And then I think from there, like after like saying it out loud, like what's happened for me is like I start to just question, or I allow the divine in myself to start questioning what I'm thinking and what I'm believing about myself. So like in a journal practice, I would write down every single thought that I had. It sounds wild, but I did it. And like every time I wrote down a belief or something about myself of like, oh, I feel unworthy, I had the opportunity to interrogate it. Like, okay, like that's interesting. What's going on here? And, or I go, you know what, do I really believe that about myself? Or is that just some kind of programming from the overculture that's now like resides within me? And so, so for me, like that prayer of just like, let me just communicate with myself and have a conversation with myself as a loving friend, as a loving coach, as a loving cheerleader, as a loving mother. And if I don't, like, for me, I've had to construct those archetypes within myself and like catch myself when I'm not being that loving fill in the blank and kind of coach that part up. So yeah, so it's like starting off with conversations with myself, like interrogating my thoughts in from a place of curiosity and compassion. And then from there, starting to think about, all right, well, if I believe myself to be one way and it's not a quality that I wish to embody, now that I have awareness of that, what are the qualities that I do want to embody? And so I'm at a level now where I can do that by myself. Once upon a time, that was not the case, not at all. And so there's times I didn't even want to talk about anything. And so I think there's beauty in body work where you don't actually have to say anything at all. So whether it be working with a body worker who's also trauma informed, working with a Reiki master, doing sound healing as well, like sometimes just going out for a walk in nature is big time. And I will say working with plant medicine has like created enough like momentum in this healing journey to have a lot of amazing downloads and openings over the past year or so. And so I think for me, again, it's just like, whether it be prayer, talking about my feelings, finding the right resources, maybe sometimes joining a support group, it could be reading books to develop the language as well. But I think more than anything else, it's just like prioritizing my relationship with myself. And I think that all starts off with like, let me just start talking to myself and making sure that I'm talking to myself in a way that's very loving and kind.
I love this. Yeah, it all starts with ourselves and ends with ourselves. And something that you're sharing about prayer and how that can look so different for everyone. It's bringing up something within me of growing up in a really Christian religious family, like probably many of us did. There was so much teaching around our worthiness is coming from something outside of us, and that we have to act a certain way and do certain steps in order to be worthy, in order to be saved, in order to be whole. And so there's inherently this reaching, this grasping, there this inherent not enoughness that is so deeply seated into the culture of a lot of Americans, of a lot of Europeans, of just people who have been predominantly been, you know, raised in a Christian subculture. And so something that I've been really understanding is that wow, my worthiness, my divinity, it just is. Like, just like nature is divine and perfect, and just like I am seeing each relationship as divine and perfect, so am I. Like, why am I any different than anything else? And that I don't need to pray, and that I don't even need to like pray in order to, you know, make sure that this food is going to like be divinely blessed, right? Like, it already is divinely blessed. And if I want to pray over it, then that's great. But it's like that grasping still, like, oh, I think I need to do this in order for this. But it's just coming back over and over again to just the divinity is in exactly how the shape and the form and the texture that I am now, that you are now, that this moment is now, this weather, this food, this person, this body. Like, that is what I believe is like the convergence of being in divine union with all that is. It's being able to embrace what is in front of us in the moment and considering and seeing that as divine without needing to change it at all. And that's like obviously like a journey, right? Because it's so easy to like nitpick, and it's not to say that we don't want things to grow and expand and be better, but what if we could just radically embrace and accept the divinity in this present moment, in all that is inside of us? And then inherently we're going to see that divinity and perfection in everyone that we're relating with and in everywhere that we are, reflected in the weather, reflected in the traffic, reflected in the relationships and the communities around us. So it's just, it goes so deep, and I would love to hear a little bit more from your perspective on how you're able to do that. Like, how are you able to find perfection in the present moment when someone is not necessarily like treating you in the way that you feel like you should be treated, or you're feeling really emotional or insecure? Like, in those moments, how do you connect with the divinity?
Ooh. But one, I just want to say thank you for everything that you shared. I was like, take mental notes, Gabrielle. Like, that was so good. It just seemed like the divinity of all, and also the divinity in nature. This is such like a fascinating topic, because it's like, it'd be so convenient to be like, follow these 10 steps, and at the end of these 10 steps, you will have found and kept divine union, the end, right? and there we go. The end. But I'm loving like the terminology around like nature, and I'm trying to search for the words first, but for me, there are times where I'm struggling. And I think, again, sometimes it's just as simple as going like, you know what, I'm really struggling with this. There can be so many times where, or there have been times in my life where I'm like, oh no, there's the temptation to bypass, right? Which is, okay, my life is a crap show. And I'm like, no, I'm perfectly fine right now, even though I'm really not. And so I will try to construct this reality around me that presents as, okay, I'm connected, I've got everything that I need. But really, like, in the background, if people knew me, they'd be like, bullshit. And so I think for me, what has been really helpful has been just like accepting my feelings as they are and my emotions as they are, and not feeling like I need to do anything about them. Like, very honestly. So it's like, okay, today I'm feeling a sense of anxiety, or like, hey, I'm looking in the mirror and it's not even a feeling. I'll just catch myself. Like, I'm catching myself starting to nitpick something, like, oh my gosh, should I not have eaten that cake yet? And, you know, I start spiraling a little bit. So just sometimes just being okay to say, you know what, I'm spiraling a little bit. I'm feeling some uncomfort in my body right now. I'm feeling like I'm like bloated. I'm feeling like I'm carrying on too much. And most of the time, like, that usually connects to something else, like a metaphor for how I'm relating to my environment. So I'm like, okay, so like, whatever, it's taboo talks, but like, I was really constipated a couple of weeks ago. I was joking around with one of my friends, and I was like, I don't know what kind of shit I need to let go, but I need to let go of this shit. Like, that was it. And I really started to search for like, okay, what are the things that I'm holding on to that I don't need to hold on to? So I'm in a period of transition, moving from like one job to another. And so it's like, all right, am I still carrying the energy and these like emotions and any guilt or shame or feelings of like not enoughness from this past environment with me? It's like, yes, even though I've left that environment, there's still an energetic imprint going on in myself. And so it's like, how can I help myself release that? And a lot of times, what I found is that that has to do with something that happened much earlier on in my life. Like, maybe it was at home or at school where they were not safe spaces, or maybe it had to do with like a past relationship where it's like I didn't know what was going on and I just took on other people's stuff and I just held on to it. And so just reminding myself, like, all right, I'm not in that relationship, I'm not in that company, I'm not in that house, like, I'm safe. And I'm okay. So I don't need to hold on to this right now. So very much kind of attuning to that inner child or that inner wounded teenager who needs something. And I think from that 2 minutes, like, okay, wonderful. Whatever was making me feel separate from something is not really there. And I think after that, the work is how do I maintain that? How do I build upon that? And so for me, it's been like, I guess creating. So there's like, yeah, my Instagram's like Gabrielle underscore Nethea. There's finding support groups. There's finding friends who are going to reinforce that person that is whole and that is connected. And I think the last piece of this is also recognizing what boundaries, like, all right, like if I have been operating from a place of separateness or fragmentation, I know that pretty much everything in my ex like in the external world is going to reflect and reinforce the fragmentation. So when I come to a place of wholeness, that also means that I might have to let some shit go. So again, going back to letting shit go. So yeah, like literally, so it's like, oh, okay, like I might like, maybe there's a friendship that's not actually like, this friend only wanted that fragment. They don't want the whole, and we're getting into a place of conflict by me just being myself. Maybe there are like again, like if I'm feeling bloated, rather than feeling like, oh, I need to lose weight and fit into a certain size, just going, you know what, today is like a muumuu dress kind of day. And I'm gonna feel amazing just by changing what I put on myself versus trying to feel like I need to change myself to fit into something smaller. So those have been some of the big practices, but I think also with that comes the need for support, like support groups, or reinforce friendly reinforcements, like loving and compassionate and kind friendships. And so just really making sure that the environment, the people in it, the spaces that we occupy are really in support of the fullness and wholeness, and being totally okay to go for anyone and anything that is not in support of that. Like it's not gonna occupy a lot of space in my life moving forward. It's hard, and also so much better in the long run for me to always come back home to myself.
So compassionate and so touching, your relationship to yourself and how you make these connections with what you're moving through physically, your emotions, and you're introspecting and really taking this as above, so below, and remembering that everything is interconnected, right? It's not just like, oh, I'm constipated. It's like, no, what do I need to let go of in my life? Like, I need to take inventory right now. And I think like what you're speaking into at towards the end, I've been struggling with a bit myself. So I'm curious on your take around like zooming out, being connected to the oneness, being connected to divinity, recognizing everything serves a purpose, right? And discomfort ultimately encourages growth. And then making the decision, like you spoke into, to like maybe let a friendship go and cut someone out of your life. Like, what's that line look like for you? And what does that conversation look like to you? Because there's pieces of me and like my old people pleasing tendencies that's like, I want everyone to be my friend. I don't want to cut any ties. Everyone serves a purpose. Everyone's like teaching me something and walking me back home. Then I'm like, wait, bitch, like you need to have boundaries. Like you need to like create safety in your life. So yeah, I would love to open up the space to hear more about what's coming up for you around that.
That's an experience. That's an experience. 'Cause I'll say like I'm not it's still a work in progress. There's this line in Women Who Run with the Wolves. I don't remember. I remember like the book so much. I'm like, rather than someone handing me like the King James Version Bible, I should have been handed this book. Like, that's what I thought when I was reading it.
Yes.
I
You
should have
literally
gone,
have a
like, this should have
very
been my
solid
Bible. Like,
reason.
this is a Bible for women.
Yeah.
Imagine every female, like every child that's born that's a woman gets handed that upon birth. And they're like, once you are ready, you will cross the threshold into the women who run.
Oh,
Like that's me.
I'm gonna read those stories with my children. I'm like, okay, cool, story time. Here we go. Let's talk about it. Like, if we need to make it less dark and like age appropriate, then cool, no problem. But I'm like, yeah, this is for real. But there's this line in the book, and it says, the work is to keep doing the work. And I was reading this book called Mother Hunger earlier today. I finished it up, and it was saying the same thing. It was like, instead of looking at things as a like there's a finish line, release the pressure from that and realize again that it's going to be a lifelong journey. Like, there are times where I'm just like, okay, there's this person in my life and all my friends are telling me that they're not the business, but I really have a lot of hope, and I really will give like a lot of compassion, and I really believe. And a lot of it was me believing in my ability to come to a resolution with somebody. That's really what it was. And so once I had I think for me, the work is knowing where to give myself credit, and then knowing, it's more so the boundaries with myself first, to go, okay, am I doing everything in my power to show up in a way that aligns to my integrity as a person? Like, am I showing up as my best, highest self with this person? And if the answer is yes, right, and I've done everything that I can do without doing anything more, I feel like I can walk away and go, even if that relationship didn't work, I'm really proud of how I showed up. So it's just more, I think for me, it's more about, okay, like, how can I make sure that I stay in alignment with my, and I think there's so much work that has to be done way before this, of like being like doing the work to be secure in self, to do the internal work to understand, like, when I say integrity of character, is that like my own integrity, or is that informed by, again, like the over culture and who my parents think that I need to be? And so there is the work of like individuation that's so important. So it's just so important. So yeah, so for me now, like, I just had this experience as well. My friends were like, you need to cut this person out of your life. You don't need to talk to them anymore. And I'm like, you know what? If I leave right now, I know who I am, and I know that I'm gonna give people probably more chances than the average person will. I'm not gonna judge it. It's just, that's just who I am as of today. And so I feel like, you know, like, what are the things that are in my control? All right, have I done those things, and I've done everything that I possibly can do to be myself and to like honor the self that's showing up? That to me is a really beautiful experience. I can grieve like the loss of that friend or that opportunity or that project, or like maybe moving from a city, let's say. Like, I can grieve that and still leave that environment or leave that space, leave those people, and go, you know what? I'm really proud of myself, and I found a new gift within myself. I had to lose something. However, that gift is the gift of me is more than plenty. So that's kind of how I have been learning to move through things and move through the difficulty of, this is no longer a relationship, right? Or a connection that can maintain, but like, I'm still here and I'm more than enough. Like, that's wonderful.
That's really
And
beautiful.
just to reflect on what you've said and what you were sharing before, that really hit me about the moo-moo and like if you're feeling bloated one day, instead of beating yourself up about it and trying to put on the skinny jeans that aren't really fitting and then feeling like crap about yourself and then that affecting your mood and then that spiraling into who you're attracting and all these things, you're not in the union that is just that just is calling for you. It's kind of the same thing with a friend. Like if the friend is like the old pair of skinny jeans that used to fit, but that friendship doesn't really fit anymore, why are you trying to make it fit when you can just get a moo-moo, which it could be like a someone else in your life who just naturally fits and accentuates your authentic beauty in this now moment. And if we could kind of like look at that in everything that's happening in our lives, whether it's, you know, like a new friend or an old friend or, you know, just anything that's happening, and just embracing what is. And that's something that you said, I'm embracing how I'm feeling. I'm embracing the discomfort. I'm embracing the bloating, and I'm not trying to change it. I'm just observing that this is what's arising. And that's been so alive in my life, where I've been noticing, like, where do I resist? Where do I want to instantly problem solve? Where do I instantly want to create solutions for myself? And then how am I also projecting this onto others and not allowing them the spaciousness to just be in their emotions? Because I believe that's what we need. We need that to move into the problem solving. We need to just be witnessed and held and embraced where we are in that moment. And to me, that's like another deeper aspect that you're bringing into of divine union, where it's not just being in union with things that are easy, but being in union with the shadow, being in union with the pain, being in union with the discomfort. And as long as we need to be in union with that core that feels authentic, then we stay there.
Yeah.
And we recognize and we bow down. We like bow down to that darkness as being an equal part of the divinity that exists within us, that guides us and leads us into those lighter states of being. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that and really hitting the nail on the head. Like, so many great metaphors that you're sharing around this, and it's not always an easy pathway. But it feels like when we are continuously showing up and choosing what fits, like that's the metaphor, what fits in our lives now, the more clear we are around that, then the more that life will meet us in that clarity. And the more like disconnected we are from that, then the more fragmented and disconnected our reality will meet us.
Yeah. No, there was like, sorry, didn't mean to interrupt. There was like a couple of things that you said. This is something I'm gonna have to journal on, of instead of asking the question what fits, I thought about like what expands. Like that was like, of like, all right, rather than like, all right, I need to fit into this thing or what fits me, I'm almost curious, instead of asking the question of like, what allows me to expand? What is going to be more expansive versus what's just going to fit by itself? And then the second thing that I was thinking about as well is, like that, you know, again, that as above, so below kind of thing. Something that helped me was, it's this idea of like, however like negative things can get, I'm like, that's an energy in and of itself, right? Like, it doesn't have to be good or bad. It's just an energy, and energy can be made into a positive. So it's like, no matter how low I feel, it shows me that I have just as much capacity, if not more, to go even higher. So even playing with these, using just like, you know, simplifying it, but let's say there's an inner critic. So I know some friends who will say, and I've heard this from coaches as well, of like, oh, you know, you need to like silence your inner critic. And I'm like, I actually don't think that's the case. I think you have to coach the critic into a cheerleader. And so it becomes much more collaborative, because if we believe that within ourselves there are parts that we need to suppress, that we need to depress, that we need to cut off, that we need to fragment ourselves from, it's like, okay, we're wondering why we still feel the way that we feel. But instead, again, that embrace to go, hey, inner critic, can't help but notice that you're not really vibing with the way that these jeans feel today. and you're poking at the body. Like, what else could we maybe do instead of poking at the body? And see what happens. I was also reflecting on this idea of like motivation. So in my day job, I lead people. And so I'm always curious about like what motivates people to do X, Y, and Z. And so I'm like, I'm in Tulum, I'm in a bikini, I'm looking in the mirror. And like, my first inclination was, I don't know if I want to wear this bikini. And I'm like, where is that coming from? And like, why do I feel guilty about my body being my body? Like, what's going on here? And it was almost like I got these like flashbacks to like growing up, and, you know, not because my mom was trying to be mean by any means, but it was like, all right, for her to try to get me to spur me into action, it was always like a guilt-based thing. like, oh, if you don't do this right now, then fill in the blank. And so I'm like, oh, the way that I talk to myself is very much how I learned to get myself to motivate myself into action. It didn't feel good when I was a kid. It's not gonna feel good when I'm an adult. So like, how else can I show up for myself? Like, what if instead of, all right, if instead of, let's say, don't eat X for the next week so you can fit into this dress kind of thing. It's like, okay, what's a much more loving and compassionate way to go about this? I'm gonna just go to the tailor and get it figured out versus trying to like cut myself off. So yeah, it's just those are a couple of things that popped up for me as you were sharing, Alfina.
This is gold, babe. I just noticed this like theme in the essence of your soul that's super touching, and it's just so deeply rooted in compassion,
Thanks.
like deep, deep, like potent, expansive, healing compassion. And where you have this level of introspection in every moment of your life and softness and forgiveness and communication, where you're literally enrolling your shadows and communicating to them as if they're a friend, right? Like, if you ever write a book about this, like, I will be there day one, cheerleading, supporting you, rooting you on, because just your particular perspective is, it's really moving to hear. And like, there's pieces of these things that have come online for me throughout my journey, but just having like the package of you be here and really be in the frequency of it is powerful. Super powerful. So I just want to share that gratitude and that reflection. And yeah, gratitude for the dogs barking, the gratitude for the divinity in this moment, the gratitude for all
Gratitude
of
for the construction noises that are going on. And it's like something that you said too. I agree with everything Heather's saying, but something that also you said was, these emotions aren't necessarily like bad or good or even painful or pleasurable, right? It's there, everything is neutral by nature. And what if we stop even categorizing it as like this inner saboteur and labeling the saboteur as this bad guy and the construction noises as annoying? What if we were just noticing, oh, there's a difference in my body and how I'm feeling now than I felt before? And there's a different sensation that's arising. And I've been trying to play with this, like instead of casting people and scenarios as the good guys or the bad guys in my life, or things that are bringing me into more euphoria or more, more sadness, trying to just see it all as neutral and fluid and different and changing. And it's just a different experience. It's just adding a different texture, a different layer. It's just opening up a new conversation, a new perspective. And just welcoming it in with curiosity and openness before trying to label or judge where it needs to fit, but viewing it all in this rainbow, like psychedelic array of colors, and that creates so much more richness and flavor in our life.
Yeah, no, it's real. So I work with I go to therapy on a weekly basis, and the modality is called internal family systems. And the premise of it is like, we have all these parts, like protectors and managers and exiles
I
and
hate
whatever.
parts work, by the way. Sorry. I was like, I felt it. I was like, there's
Yeah, she does.
this woman. I like sensed it. I was like, she has done parts.
Yeah, and it's funny. So like, I'll talk to my therapist. She's awesome, and I'm like, okay, well, this happened, and so and so said this, and she'll go, sounds like they're in their parts, and she always says it in this way of like, she's like, what you realize is, there are no good days or bad days. It's just you're in your parts, and they're just parts, and that's all it is. And so each part has, again, a value or an energy, a frequency to it. And at any point in time, we can start to like tinker with that and completely change the frequency and completely change the value. We can take something that was really negative and also turn it into something that's a real positive. There is the work first of doing, of like first and foremost, like, okay, let's get grounded And let's get curious. That's number one thing. So we've been dropping into doing a parts work, and let's say a part shows up for me. And she's like, the first question Laura will ask, it's with therapist name, she'll go, how do you feel towards this part? And if it's anything other than curiosity and compassion, we'll ask that feeling to step to the side. So like there are times where I can be in a conversation with someone and maybe or I'm getting ready to do a big presentation, let's say, and I'm feeling a lot of nervousness, I'm feeling a lot of anxiety, right? And so I'm like, okay, I'm very aware. And so I'm feeling anxiety about the anxiety that I'm feeling. And so I'm like, you know what? Hey, anxiety number two. Can you like step off to the waiting room while I like while anxiety number one and I have a conversation, right? It's like, is that okay? I promise you I'll come back to you. And so, you know, and then it come into and just being again really curious, like, hey, like what do you want me to know right now? What's going on with you? Right? Like what how are you doing? And just really taking the time to make sure that part feels, truly feels my curiosity and my interest and the sincerity of my curiosity towards them. Because again, it can be really easy to bypass. Like I'm just following these steps, but I'm not sincerely curious. So yeah, there's just beauty. There's just beauty in just being like, I take a vow to be so sincerely curious about myself. I'll spend every single day, every single moment in marriage to myself. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And the beautiful subtle,
Amen.
yeah, right? Like the parts work that you're speaking into that's come up on my journey is just the remembrance that all these pieces, all these parts of ourselves desire to be witnessed, heard, seen, loved, acknowledged. And when we dismiss, repress, deny them, ignore them, we're like, oh, anger, like I actually don't want to deal with you today. It's like, you wake up the next day and you're feeling like you have a sniffle, like you're a little bit sick, you know? And it's like when we repress and deny any element of ourselves, it's still there. And then it has to communicate in a different way. And that can be getting louder. That can be like physical illness. That can be that can take so many different shapes and forms.
Yeah.
And I love parts work so
Yes.
much because just the deeply rooted compassion that's embedded in its core. And how
Yeah.
it's like, I love all the pieces of me. I hear and witness all the pieces of me. I celebrate, hear, and see all of the pieces of you. And yeah, it's the freaking best. How did you, curious how you found parts work and how long you've been
Yeah,
connected?
what's Yeah, what's funny? Okay, so I'm gonna sometimes I drop bombs on people where I'm like, oh yeah, I accidentally like joined a cult one time and the coach was like, you should do like a therapist. It was a whole like where I'm like, there was some weird stuff going on. I thought it was a meditation coach, and then it turned real weird. But one of the things that he recommended was going to see like an IFS therapist. And so and then I was like, oh my gosh, where am I? 'Cause I'm working with my therapist, and it's been since like October or November that I've been working with her. And I like left that coach, and he's like, did I like give up my job when I recommended this therapist? I'm like, nope, just you being you. I need to get out of there.
I gotta go.
I gotta go, sir. I was like, yeah. I was like, you're really expensive, and we're not getting any progress done. I gotta go.
Thanks for the suggestion. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. He's like, well, I guess that was a consequence. I was like, didn't feel like a consequence, felt like a gift. Thank you.
Divine redirect.
Divine
Wow.
read. Oh, I like, I'm gonna write that one, a divine redirect. Beautiful.
Divine redirect, babe. It's true. It's like there are no closed doors. Like there aren't. It's a redirect to another corridor.
Yeah. You know, I've had this dream many times, and it's like there's this hallway of many, many doors. And so because of the way that I've perceived it, thinking about like the there's no doors, like it's in the visual, there's all these doors. And the only thing that you could do wrong is like not keep checking to see which door opens. Like there's infinite doors. And so anytime that you feel like, all right, I only have one choice or I have no choice, you have to remember like you actually have infinite choices. You just might need to go check the next door and see if it opens. It's a little bit like that visual of like digging for gold where the guy like is about to stop right before he strikes. Like it really is like just you keep on searching for your gold in full faith that you'll find it.
Yeah, there were like I hear you speaking into the quantum field of infinite possibilities in any given moment, right? Like imagine all of the grains of sand and all of the beaches in the world times a billion, and that being like every potential choice that you could make, the way that you could walk to the kitchen, what you could choose to eat, how many grains of salt like are dropped on your plate. Like it's so expansive and inspiring, like when we kind of have these moments where we feel stuck or stagnant, or not know where to go, we're like, wait, I'm a quantum being in a quantum world. Like I can literally go in a billion gajillion smillion different directions.
It's I mean, it is Alfina, I think you used the word, or I can't remember who did it, but someone used the word radical. Maybe it was you, Heather. But like, it is a radical quest. It really, really is, because I definitely identify with the story of growing up in a, I grew up in a super conservative, ultra oppressive Christian environment. Like Jesus just being shoved down my throat every single day for forever. And it wasn't an expansive relationship whatsoever. Not at all. So it's like, okay, for people to grow up being like so highly conditioned to see things as right, wrong, black, white, saved, you're going to hell, like I have to save you. Like you get conditioned into that. For some folks, it's really beautiful if they're able to find a really like a nice path of no resistance to get out of there. I don't know if that's possible or not. For me, I was like had a full-on spiritual awakening. That was wild. But I think like again, going for me when I say prayer, it's just like let me just have a conversation out loud, and I just trust that there's like some power or presence that's bigger than myself. Doesn't even need to have a name, that like hears me out and has my back. Actually had this visual of the void where like I was like sitting down like meditating. I'm in this like kind of chamber area, and the void and there's the void personified. And so the void, it looks like a galaxy. It looks like looking into a keyhole into the stars. And so I'm just like, hey void, here's this thing that I don't know what to do with. Like, can you please help me? The void takes it and it's like walking up the stairs, and I'm following the void, and the void's like, listen, if you want me to be the void, you gotta let me be the void. Like, just trust that I got this. And in that, like, so like as soon as I like let the void just be itself, and I just stayed still, I'm like, I'm not out here chasing. I don't have to doubt. I don't have to be so involved. I don't need to be nitpicking all the time. Like, I can just leave room for the Holy Spirit on this one. And in this meditation, it was like as soon as I let the void be the void, like an answer came. And it was funny. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been struggling for 6 months trying to like figure out how do I make this work, when really I just needed to surrender it to the powers that be. And so there is this this beautiful experience of just like, let me just like trust that whoever, whatever's out there, that it something's out there that's got my back. And so I'm just gonna give it to y'all and ask, please help me, and I'm gonna trust you in all this.
I don't feel like when you ask the question, you're already not integrity to your trust, right? It's like, I need help, I need support. It's like, you don't think I'm helping you and supporting you right now? Like just because like you're uncomfortable and things aren't working as like you've planned them. Like I believe the universe, God, consciousness, whatever you want to call it, has a much grander plan for us that doesn't work in linear
Huge.
time, that doesn't work based on comfort or discomfort or our concepts of duality. Like our backs are taken care of. Like I truly believe that. And the more that I remember that, what you were speaking into, the more like things just happen out of the blue. And they're just like everything just starts to kind of melt together and make sense. But there has to be this element of trust, which is freaking scary.
It's hard. It's hard. It's hard.
It's like, oh, I just have something to say on this. It's like, well, my mantra this month has been the universe is my dom daddy. I surrender. And this is just right on point. I've been saying it every morning to myself, writing it in my journal every morning. And yeah, it's like the more that we trust that in every moment, no matter how we're feeling, no matter the sensations or discomforts or things that we perceive that aren't working out, the more that we actively practice embracing that in like the micro in our own lives, then in the macro, we're going to be able to also be more trusting of the void and be more embracing of the hiccups and the places that we might have judged ourselves, where now instead of judging the world and judging people in our lives, like our partners, our family, our friends, or life itself, and saying, why is this not working? Why are they not doing this XYZ? If we're starting with ourselves and having more compassion and space for that, for all of the parts, then inherently it's like, then we get to have that reflected in the world around us. And we see all the parts of the world and the universe and all the parts of everyone else in our lives as perfect. And in that perfection and acceptance and embrace, then we are able to just naturally trust and surrender.
Yeah. I know we mentioned like gratitude, like thank you to the construction and thank you to the dogs barking. There's something really powerful about a gratitude practice, like super powerful. I think that helps as well. And it's just finding ways just to like, just remember like how much thanks you can have for everything. And I don't mean that in like a toxic positive, like a toxic positivity way, but like there's times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like in a rush and I'm running behind. And there's a stoplight and I'm like, oh no. And then it turns green. I'm like, thank you, angels. Thank you. Like, I see you. So sometimes it's this, I think there's this, like, talking about like divine union, right? Connection with ourselves. And I talk about the, you know, the powers that be, but what, like, it's almost like, what if the powers that be want nothing more than for you to like play with them and collaborate with them, right? Like, it's like a little kid who's like, hey, mommy, like, look what I just did. And it's this dumbest thing in the world. Like, I don't mean to be judgmental, but it's like, it doesn't seem that interesting. But in the eyes of the kid, it's like the most amazing thing in the world. You're not going to be like, well, that's dumb. You're going to be like, you know what? Honestly, thank you so much. What else? Like, what else can you do? And so I think there is this nice little interplay where I'm like, hey, divine, like the way that you just came through on this, amazing. Thank you. That was awesome. Like, I want to go out dancing in celebration to you. And also, like, I'm really curious about what, like, how much more can we explore and how much more can we expand? And so, like, I'm really excited about what else is coming. Cool.
Yeah. I think, like, the beauty and divinity and everything, right? Like, I was talking to a friend about this and they were like, did you ever think about, like, when the last time was that, like, your dad picked you up? You know, like when you were a little girl. And I started to get emotional and it just brought up this concept of like how even if something is like silly, right? Like there's this kid being like, look what I can do. And they're just like flailing their arms or whatever it is. Like maybe that's the last time they'll ever do that. The only time that I ever do that. Like there is so much beauty in that moment. And when you're speaking into gratitude, first of all, Elfina is a gratitude queen. Anytime I spend time with her, I was just in Hawaii with her. Like before we go to sleep every night, she's like, what are you grateful for? So she has like such a devotional practice and I'm so grateful for her gratitude practice and her inspiring me to do it. But the thing that like came through for me, I think it was last year around gratitude, was after a plant medicine ceremony. And I came back from the plant medicine ceremony to my partner at the time. And I was like, I met something that's more than love. And he was like, nope, love is it. It's the only thing. And I was like, no. It's like, I'm not denying like that love is everything. And it is like this really potent force, but it just felt like I met something that was like the container that held love. And then in that moment, it was like, it's gratitude. Mm-hmm. Like gratitude is the focused attention towards a person, place, or thing, right? And it holds the love. So like, it just kind of really hit home when you were speaking into it and reminded me of that and how important, like everyone's like, do gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. I'm like, no, it is like the thing. And if you're like in your shit or you're triggered or you're uncomfortable, if you can find the smallest thing to be grateful for, the tiniest thing, you can start to shift and transmute that energy and not to deny the place that you're in, but just to like begin to remember that like we can be in that place, we can be in that discomfort, and we can still find even the smallest thing to be grateful for.
I love this.
And I have to shiver like, me timbers on that one.
And when you measure these words, there's the frequency that each word carries, and the frequency of gratitude is actually the highest frequency. It's higher than love when it's measured. And so it actually is shown to be like the highest frequency energetic, even more than love, is gratitude. And Heather, like what you're saying, it was something that hit so deep when I was in Tulum. We were all talking about how we were in Tulum, where Heather lives. And I was sitting with a medicine woman in an ayahuasca ceremony, and she just kept saying, gracias, say gracias, like no matter if you're purging your guts out and you just feel like you have no more energy left to give, just keep saying thank you. And I don't know how many times I had said it, hundreds of times that night in the morning, into the morning. And I remember there was a point where I hadn't slept at all. I was on like my final purge, and I literally felt so weak. I felt like I was gonna pass out. I felt like I could not shake and move somatically anymore, and all I wanted to do was just cry and complain. And I just kept saying thank you, thank you, thank you. And there's this one moment that I viscerally felt the shift as I'm saying gracias. All of a sudden, all the pain in my body literally just lifted, and I completely transmuted it. And then all of a sudden, I felt like I just got completely woken up, like I had slept 8 hours, and I was all my energy just lifted and returned, and my aches and pains dissolved, and I got bright and I got energized, and I was up the whole next day into the whole next evening. And it was this craziest thing that I've ever experienced in my life, where I viscerally was able to turn my pain into pleasure just through saying thank you. And even in that moment, just being like, wow, the ability of my body to even feel this deeply right now, that I'm feeling these sensations, right? That goes to show that I can feel, that I can, thank goodness I can feel. Because if I wasn't able to feel these aches and pains, I wouldn't be able to feel this, these orgasms, right? And bliss portals either. It's like, thank goodness for feeling. Thank goodness for emotions. And that's the thing, we can't neglect some emotions and choose others. It's like it's a two for one, or it's a one for all. You have one, you can have them all, but you have to have them, right?
It's that beautiful like duality. There's speaking of like gratitude and like, it's like, oh, I'm feeling all these feels, and maybe it's like, oh, it's scary, but it's like, oh wow, like, hey, look what I can do. There's a story that I heard, I think back in like 2019. I was listening to a podcast, and the story was there was a man who like grew up in like abject poverty. But he was really a really, really gifted artist, like a musical artist specifically. And so he's able to like put out his music, he gets some money, he gets signed to a label, and he gets a bunch of money, right? And so he buys himself a really nice white tux, and he's like, he goes to a party, and on the first party, someone walks up to him and accidentally spills a red wine all over his white suit. And he starts getting upset because he's like, oh man. And in that upsetness, he's like, wait a minute, like, why am I upset about this? He's like, oh, I'm upset about this because, like, I have this really nice suit that I spent this much money for that I actually ha can't afford. This is the first time it's happening to me in my life. Like, I wouldn't be upset if I didn't have all this abundance in my life right now. Like, whoa. So I'm so grateful that I have a tux that I can afford to actually be upset if I get something on it, because it's a marker of like actually how far I've come. So in that moment, he's able to just like reframe it and be like, you know what? Like, this is cool. And I remember that story. It's like I had just bought my car after a really hard like financial time, and someone hit me, and like, I don't know who hit it. And I was like, oh man, I'm upset. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm only upset because I have a car that I can afford. And previously I couldn't. Like 6 months ago, I would never have a car. Like, oh wow, this is really nice. And that way I'm like, well, I guess you're just gonna have a battle scar for a little bit, Shelby. It's my car's name. And we're gonna just go with it.
Yes, that's so funny. That
Oh,
happened to
you're so cute.
my car too. Like something kind of similar where I was renting it out, and then a renter was par it, they parked it in a construction zone, and there was a big dent in like the very middle front hood. And I was pissed for months every time I looked at it, and they refused to pay even though they promised they were going to pay. And I was pissed for months and annoyed every time I looked at my car. And then one day, I think I'd eaten a little mushrooms or something, I look at my car and I'm like, oh my God, it looks like the nose and the headlights are the eyes, and my car's name is Gigi. I'm like, it's Gigi's nose. That's her face. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing my car come to life. And now I love the dent there. And I'm like, again, this is my, the face of my car. And now I smile every time I look at her. So it's just like, it's such a simple way to rephrase and get us out of this victimization and complaining to, yeah, to celebrating and joy and just letting it go.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. Well, but again,
have something to complain about, right?
Yeah. So, there are times, I don't have my phone on me, but this came to me in a, it came to me in a mushroom ceremony, actually, where it's like, I was coming to, and it was like, I was like, I'm so grateful. I was like, it's so, and I was like, beautiful, beautiful. I was like, oh man, life is so beautiful. You know, just kind of having this moment, because I just want to take a moment and go like, for, to the point of like divine union and getting there. Something that I think is really important to say as well is like, there are people who wake up in the morning who don't think that they deserve to be alive. And so to be able to come to a point in time to go like, actually, I see my life as a gift. Like that to me is like where the gratitude practice comes in big time, to be able to go like, hey, like I know how low things can be in life. And like to even believe for a moment that there is an inner richness within myself. And the only reason why I don't feel that way is not because I don't have it. It's because there's like a belief, or there's a programming, like there's something that's skewing my vision, skewing my perception. But if I can at least, the very, very, very least, believe like my richness, my internal richness is guaranteed. It's there in every single person. Like everything they could possibly want and need in the world already resides and lives within you. And it's simply a matter of making a commitment, taking that vow to go, I will search, I will be in pursuit, relentless pursuit for the rest of my days if I must, to prove myself right on this one thing, which is like, I am divine. I am rich. I am abundance. I am power. I am everything and more. Like that is our promise as people. It's our inheritance. And so it's just a matter of like, if the one way that I tried to go about it didn't work, it's not to say that it's not going to work. Just, and it doesn't mean that it doesn't work or that I don't work. It just means I need to find a different path, and that's it.
Mic drop. That's golden. And thank you so much for ushering this conversation as it were coming to an end out with that really, really, really beautiful divine detour, divine redirect, I should say, back to the self. That nothing that we see that exists in the world or anyone around us that doesn't exist within us if we don't do enough journeying inward to meet it.
Yeah. I know I say it again, like the words that are coming up for me are soul's cry. Like it's sometimes just being able to go like, hey, I have no idea how to get there. I heard this podcast, Taboo Talks, and they're talking about some shit that I don't understand, but like, maybe it's true. Like, please guide me. Please guide me towards that in the path of least resistance. Please show me the way. Like when I said, when we speak out in a soul cry, like we are guaranteed an answer. I really do believe that. And it can happen in the most, again, like the most, extraordinarily of ordinary ways.
Extraordinary.
Yeah, where we seek, we shall find. Well, thank you again, Gabrielle. This has been such a beautiful cherry on top to this. I think it's been 7 weeks now that we've been in this topic. We've gone so deep and so wide. And this feels like the integration, the bow that just is wrapping everything back together and bringing that focus of divine union really home into ourselves and the divinity that resides within. So thank you again for joining us, for sharing your heart, for sharing your embodied wisdom, and for doing it in such a relatable and like natural, like I feel like I'm just talking to a friend, and it's been really enjoying. It's brought a lot of enjoyment, and new perspectives have come online through this conversation. So thank you.
Thank you. No, I feel the exact same way. I'm like over here, just like a giddy little schoolgirl. I'm like, wait a minute, I like this.
Yeah, it's great.
We'll have you on again, honey. This is like absolutely beautiful and expansive, and I'm leaving with a deeper remembrance of my divinity and the love in my heart and how I can serve that to the world. So just deep, deep gratitude for you and the work that you've done and how you show up for yourself and how that is making a difference. Like it absolutely is. So yeah, thank you so much for being here
Thank
and
you.
can't wait for your book launch. Let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know. I'll be
I will. I'll reach out to you first.
there. And we just want to thank each of you who are listening and tuning into today's Taboo Talk as well. You can catch this replay, this full video under our highlights at cissociety.world. Is also linked in our bio, and you can join us every week, same time, same place, for more transformative episodes. Again, find us on Spotify, podcasts, Taboo Talks, and also YouTube. And if you're up for deeper conversations, please send either myself or Heather a private message to join our WhatsApp community. We would love to have you in that space to dive in deeper into these topics. And again, we are Cis Society, a global community rewriting the narratives of taboo around our sensuality, intimacy, and sexuality. Follow us to continue these conversations as we flip the script and shatter social norms. And please share this episode with anyone that you feel is resonant with this message. Sharing and subscribing really does help our mission to expand and grow and reach the world. See you next week for another episode, and blessings.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Taboo Talks. We wouldn't be here without you. And don't miss a single second of these juicy conversations where we continue traversing the new earth with leading minds. Subscribe and share these important conversations to be a part of the Cis Society movement.